It is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we take a look at the stories that not only we're following, but you're going to be following. And we head to our middle studio, and there we have Cynthia and Ann. Good morning.
Good morning.
And,
there we go.
There's Ann.
Hi.
There you go. Now you're in the ballpark. And we welcome.
Oh, radio.
And we'll welcome in Janet. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
Great. The sun is shining.
The sun is shining. We, Windchill Mountain, I think, got the most around here, 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
That's why they call it Windchill Mountain.
I think the further south you go, also, there's around, as you head towards Kent, there's some 2 to 3 inches and stuff like that.
But yeah.
At my house, barely a dusting.
I got a dusting, yeah.
Barely.
Which
dusting.
I'm not complaining about.
Nope.
We're lucky.
Yes, we will go to the front page. And speaking about snowstorms, or lack of them.
Well, we expected this huge storm this week. And so we thought, well, we should explain to people why their papers are often late. And I'm actually, we're going to go fairly quickly through the paper this week because we have the wonderful health and wellness to talk about. So
and a big compass.
And a big compass with really some interesting stories. So I'm just going to quickly say I interviewed Janet Manco, the publisher and editor-in-chief of the Lakeville Journal. People do come into the office.
How'd you get that interview?
I know. I'm that good. I am that good.
I told her, cut out those quotes. Just paraphrase that.
Because she doesn't get that it's so interesting to everybody else. It's for her, it's like every day. But for the rest of us, it's like, oh, my God, I didn't know that. So she's explaining this whole, the whole process of our drivers and how they deliver everything to the different post offices. And actually, we want to shout out again to our postal clerks. They are so supportive of us, and we really appreciate it. But I'm happy to say everybody should have their papers on time this week because we only got a light dusting.
That's right, and they were able to do their full runs yesterday, which is the first time in a while. And so, it's such a challenge. And as our headline says, it's a challenge for all businesses. So we'd actually love to hear from other businesses what a challenge this has been this winter for them.
Okay, can I start? Or
we'll tell you what challenge it's been.
Yeah. Special issue, WHD.
I have no sleep.
and I would just like to say that this has been going on since the first of the year.
Yeah.
Which you will all notice because you will have lost the first Monday. You lost Mondays, and then between late openings, early dismissals, and snow days.
Yeah.
I'd like to find anyone who's had a full week.
Yeah.
And I normally get on the school systems because sometimes they call a little bit. But in today's thing with meteorology, when they predict with such vehemence that you're going to get something, it puts the schools in this litigious society in a very, very strange
good
position.
Point, yeah.
And so unlike years ago when people didn't sue schools if a school bus went off the road or something during bad weather, nowadays that stuff will happen. So the schools have to play on the safe side. They have to.
But as far as I know, they still get spring break and they're still getting out.
Yeah.
Eventually.
August 20th.
Yeah.
That's a joke,
them.
It's a joke. All
a
right.
Japanese school. Yeah.
On the other side of the page, after the beautiful color pictures of Art in the Making in Duncan Hanna, students embrace school safety at Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
They had a very nice, peaceful student protest. And again, I have to say, Ian Strever, organized these kids, put them in a safe position, organized so they could have it during their flex block. And, they had a nice group conversation about school safety, school shooting. And, here in the northwest corner, we are not immune from this. And there are, kids with guns and, concerns. But we're very lucky. We haven't had any incidents. I would say most of our kids are fantastic, great kids. And let's keep it that way.
All right. And I love this. Duncan Hanna is still a teen heartthrob.
Duncan Hanna, so lovely, a Cornwall resident and artist and writer and a fan favorite at the Lakeville Journal, and has a new book out. Duncan's very tweety and quiet and really one of the best conversationalists I've ever met. And when the New York Times did a story on him about a year ago about this wild young life he'd had where he was really the it boy of New York City and knew all the big musicians and all the artists and was living this fairly wild club life. And so somebody else read that article in the New York Times, and it turns out that Duncan has all of his diaries from the 70s. And in fact, he was the inspiration for a series we did last summer of people who had moved up here from New York and had fairly, artistic, wild, interesting lives, and, you know, wore a lot of leather and now live up here and have mostly Hermes scarves on. So he's going to be doing a reading tonight, actually, at the White Hart. Ann and I will be there, as I'm sure lots and lots of other people will be. And he'll be at the Darren Winston Gallery on the 31st, and we're all looking forward to reading his book.
All right. The old Kentucky Fried Chicken is going to be a marijuana dispensary.
Well, they've got the P&Z okay, but as we know from Kent, where they have the P&Z okay on the Birch Hill facility, which is planned to go into the former Kent retirement center, the marijuana dispensary has its planning and zoning permission, but they still have to go to the state and get the state approvals. And I believe that they were turned down for their state approval in 2015 also. So it's not... it's not a done deal, but we'll keep following it for our readers.
All right. And a potential person to run for governor?
State Senator Tenney Boucher, mysterious, and she's part of a series of gubernatorial candidates giving talks at the Winstead, the community bookstore, which we seriously applaud them for. We think that's a great service. And so Shaw Isaacson's been covering all of those. And so she is, she's funny in the sense that she's saying, I'm running, but I'm not running. I haven't officially said I'm running. And most of her talk was about financial ideas for how to bring the state back up into solvency. And she said, well, you know, I work in finance. And Shaw said, where do you work? And she wouldn't tell him. So, you know, it's a lot to learn.
Doesn't she know about Google?
But apparently he couldn't find her on Google either. Like,
God, you know, help her if she's on Facebook.
Yeah, no, I'm sure she's not. She knows how to keep a secret, this Tenney Boucher. Yeah, but so Shaw couldn't figure out where she, and of course we can't figure out who owns the marijuana dispensary that's being planned for her. So it's all a mystery. But Bernie Drew writing about speleology, which I guess comes from the word spelunking. So he's writing about caves, hidden caves.
And we go inside. Sapristine's is sold.
It's that the building is sold, yeah, but the business is not. And I was in a Milutin yesterday, and as Caitlin Lyle reports, people do seem quite happy about it. And he's James Hendrick has already bought the former BW Eagle Eye. I guess he's a little bit of one of these benevolent weekenders who's looking at the town and going, there's a lot of potential here. I can see what this town could be. Let me help it out, which is great. So he's turning BW Eagle Eye into a sort of a group merchandise place. His plans for the Sapristine's building are unfulfilled yet. He's saying, you know, if there were a sewer system, boy, it'd be great to put a restaurant here, but apparently there's not, and I guess that's an impediment. It could be shared office space. It could be retail spaces. If you have ideas, do contact them. And he's bought that with his partner, Graham Stone.
All right. On page A3, lots of color. The Arts Day at Region 1, The King and I at the Housatonic Music Theater Society take stage.
That's right, and we also have more photos of Region 1 Arts Day. And Janet, and Janet. Janet, do you want to talk about Region 1 Arts Day a little bit?
Sure. Full disclosure, I am on the board of the Arts Fund for Region 1, which really, it's Brad Faust who organizes this entire event, which is so great every year, has been going on for decades, and anyone who's been in fourth grade in Region 1 remembers that day because it's just a day of full creativity across the board, all kinds of arts, and you can see them represented here.
And a story on the Sharon Center school budget is ready for review.
I have to say, what a relief to go to a budget meeting this year as opposed to last year. And I'll say this as we continue to go through the paper. Last year was so painful to sit in budget meetings because so many people were being cut dramatically and the state was just pulling back. Nobody knew what they were going to do. This year, it's just a completely different story. All of the towns seem to be coming in with very tight budgets, often with either a decrease or a 0% increase, and yet, you know, I was at the North Canaan budget meeting last night. They have an 18-cent increase in the municipal budget, but everybody got restored to the spending that they had the year before last year. Even the Douglas Library was happy last night. So it's just a great, it's one of those years when you feel really good about going to a budget meeting. Also, we've got Brian Oler, who put together a committee of state legislators to look at school safety, and, you know, it's so tempting to go like, well, that could never happen here, but, you know, Sandy Hook did, so. We are not immune.
All right. And then our schools on page A4, grading practices. What a meeting at the Kent Board of Education.
My reporter said, it's going to take me a while to write this one up. So still discussing the grading practices and still a lot of concern about it and still again saying we didn't really get enough advance notice and we're not liking it. So holding fast. And I think that part of this conversation is there's some unhappiness with the town's Region 1 representative and they're trying to change the way in which that Region 1 rep is selected. elected. Most towns now elect separately their Region 1 rep. That is still not the case in Kent, but I think it will be shortly.
I think you're right. Well, see, I never expected Nick to leave. He's been there a while now, but of course, the person he replaced was there forever. So
Cynthia Bianchi.
But Nick is leaving.
The very beloved Cynthia Bianchi left. Nick Pohl, who's so amazing and has done so much and has a very different approach to YSB. So the Youth Service Bureaus are a program they have them all over the country. Ours is the Housatonic Youth Service Bureau. Under Cynthia, it was very much oriented towards sort of workshops, families, how families function together, how parents can parent better. Under Nick, it's been much more oriented toward therapy, helping kids getting help with emotional issues, with drug problems, which is something that's very, very sorely needed around here. Last year, actually 4 years ago, YSB had come to all of the towns asking for a $10,000 one-time donation, which all of the towns were able to do. And he did a lot with that money. He's moving on to a different job in New York State, and we will definitely miss him. Becca Sakel is going to be taking his place temporarily, and we'll look forward to seeing what the next person does and brings to that. Very important organization.
I want to move over to a story by Alexander Wilburn, a guy that I love to talk to, and we've talked to many times. Mark Scarborough.
Another fan favorite.
Virginia Woolf.
Yes, another fan favorite at the Lakeville Journal. A guy who is the Energizer Bunny personified. He does the Norfolk Book Club. He does Stakonic Learning Center. He does Sharon Library. He does Scova Library. He writes best-selling cookbooks, one a year.
He's on QVC all the time.
QVC.
He's on video now. He's got.
They have a puppy. I mean, and yeah, so he's an amazing guy. He's like Hermione in Harry Potter. And in fact, he wrote a wonderful story for Anne on Compass on the Instant Pot, and he's writing a story for me for our Towns and Villages section. He's just amazing, and we love him. And his most important, the people that attend his book classes are devoted to him. Some of them are book clubs, some of them are book classes, but everybody enjoys him. And Virginia Woolf, a writer that I, as an English major, personally find very challenging, he's saying, here's like, this. You're going to like her to come take the class. So we'll see.
All right, I want to move on to a story. I've known her for a long, long time off and on, and I've worked with her on several different things. Wendy Eichmann is one of the hardest workers you'll ever find. And
Which is incredible when you think about it. Just, you know, this sort of local woman, very quiet, but just she's one of those people that quietly gets tons and tons of stuff done and always creative. So she has purchased the Raynard and Pierce Realty, one of the longtime North Canaan real estate businesses, and I would say, you know, there's a lot of competition in that business around here and some pretty tough, you know, cookies running these real estate agencies. And she's got some courage to go into that business, but I think she's going to do great. So she's having an opening, I think, the 23rd. Is that today?
No, it's tomorrow. Friday.
At the I believe it's from 3 to 6. So stop in and say hi.
All right. And Seeds is closing, but there's something in its future.
Dale McDonald is, you know, one of our investors, and we are fortunate to get to spend some time with her. She's an extraordinary person and really an outside-of-the-box thinker, very creative, Wall Street background, but really, you know, very from the heart, and had started planting seeds. She loves Canaan and sees a lot of potential in it, and had run Plantin' Seeds as sort of a food hub, you know, great kitchen, come on in, have a meal, make a donation, everything's farm to table. It was great while it lasted. People are very devoted to it. She's decided to move on to something else. She's renaming Plant and Seeds as Quince, and we will wait and see what she does. It'll be interesting no matter what.
All right. I want to go to the editorial page. It's time to listen, then take action.
Right, and this is in reference to problem of gun violence, especially in schools, that has been given attention since the Parkland shooting, and Housatonic Valley Regional High School students, as Cynthia mentioned, and Patrick Sullivan has a story about, did a respectful and meaningful gathering at the school on March 14th. And, you know, there's another demonstration coming up this weekend nationwide. And so we talk about that and what we think of how these students are handling it. And also would love to give a shout out to all those students, speaking of reasons to be proud of our students, who took part in The King and I, the musical theater society's musical last weekend. It was packed houses. We have a great picture of it in the paper, and just fantastic performances.
And speaking about schools and turning back the pages, I was a freshman 50 years ago when Clark Woodrow was named.
Really?
Yeah, I was a freshman.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, when I
saw
that.
My God, am I that old?
Well, it's such an iconic moment, isn't it? It was so meaningful, the Clark B. Wood, Vocational Agriculture Department, and Clark B. Wood was there. And so did you have him as a teacher?
I had him as a teacher. Bob Gambino, a very young teacher, came into that department at that time.
Another legend.
At that time, a very young. He was so young, he looked younger than us students. And there were a lot of great teachers that came in back there. But I look back and say, wow, I was a freshman that year.
Isn't that so meaningful? And we always have to remember that from our own experiences, how important these years are for those kids. And it is for every one of those kids who enters the doors at the high schools in our area.
And that's why I love turning back the page. It's one of the first places I go when the paper comes out.
Well, thank Norma Goulet for going through those tidbits and finding just the right ones that will engage everybody.
Regularly.
Yes.
Oh, and I love Peter Steiner's cartoon again.
Yes. We are fortunate to have Peter Steiner doing the cartoons for us, and he's very regular and does them on a weekly basis and just love it. So, yeah, he does it in reference to the news that is happening at the moment, change as it might. It's always good to have a visual to remind us.
And you've got letters, of course, Pam Vogel is there, and also Mitchell Perlman with a story in The Viewpoint.
Yeah, very glad to have this piece from Mitch Perlman, who is the former executive director of Connecticut Freedom of Information Commission. He's been working on freedom of information for decades, relentlessly, and we are proud to have this piece by him on. He's done a white paper on algorithms, government algorithms. And if that sounds as if, well, what does that mean to me? Just read this, and you'll see what it means to you. It's an extremely important topic, and we're glad to have this. He's written it and given it only to us.
Okay, Cynthia, I have to go to your house store about cabbage. I used to hate cabbage. My grandmother showed me how to make cabbage with onions and whatever type of meat you want to throw in it and cook it down. Because I never did like the smell of cabbage, but it's just... Oh, I fell in love with cabbage after that.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I keep calling them brassicas, but I guess that's a farming term. It's the dark leafy greens that are so good for your eyes and to help fight macular degeneration, among other things. But it's this incredible recipe that's in there. And we talk about cabbage, why it's good for you and how to cook it. And then I'll quickly jump to health and wellness. Oh, and also I just want to mention Tracy Shannon, one of the most beautiful people inside and out I've ever met, the daughter of the late Walt Shannon, who was also one of the most beautiful people I'd ever known. And Patrick Sullivan interviewing her about work that she's doing with people to help bring out happiness. And so this health and wellness special issue is really oriented towards sort of more holistic and alternative health. We've got alternative pet care with Carrie Cannon and Tina Aiken, some of the local people. We've got listing of hospitals and medical centers. You know, there's so many new gyms opening in the area, and each one seems to have its own little community. So we've done, we hope, a pretty complete listing of gyms and fitness centers in the area. Stan Wyachek had sent me a postcard. I was on a mass mailing, and it said, you know, he's considered one of the best spa guys in America, Spa Finder. And I was like, that's a lie. But in fact, it's correct. We are lucky here in the area. He is a world-class massage person, and he will come to your house, and he's great. I personally recommend him. Shannon Strong, a lumber Jill, which is the female version of a lumberjack. And she's got a health center, health and wellness center down in Kent, expanding, and also teaches people how to do axe throwing. And you can see her in Goshen at the annual fair. I sent Bruce Paddock to interview Dick O'Connor, the psychiatrist, about depression and whether art and music, which are things that I know that Dick is very interested in, whether they can help you lift a depression. And he was very careful to say, if you're truly depressed, you need to go see a doctor. But he said, yeah, you know, depending on the person, he said, you can definitely feel some joy. So not definitive, but you know, honest. Mike Mangini, who does these fantastic workshops at Gear, teaching you all about how to care for your body. And I had never met him before. I took his photo. What a doll. So I'm definitely looking forward to his workshops. We have them advertised in the Lakeville Journal periodically. And, of course, we do briefs on them and an article for him about back and neck pain, which are really two of the worst problems that people have. And Patrick and I have a friend named Tom. Patrick calls him Thos, who does this. He's super healthy and loves to eat weird food, and his favorite is this thing called the magical mung bean mess, or that's what Patrick calls it. Patrick swears it helps you lose weight. Find out, and it's one of the funniest articles Patrick has written, and we have the recipe.
All right, I just want to pass this along.
Yes.
Millerton was the birthplace of salsa fresca. They now have 10 locations, and they
congratulations.
That's right.
And they just announced nationally they have franchise applications. They are planning to open up in the next 3 years 100 additional stores.
Mark Miles.
But why did they leave?
Because the rent was raised so high, they couldn't afford to do it. They got a rent in Putnam County, where there's lots of people at lower than that.
There you go. And actual Latinos to work.
But the store in Millerton was a store that was the catalyst that said, "Yeah, this thing is going to work."
Yeah.
And so there's four of them involved, and
congratulations.
And they hope to have 100 open within the next.
And how's the grand?
Fantastic.
And how's the baby?
The baby's no longer a baby.
Oh,
the baby's
God.
Doing great.
Both kids are doing great. I've got 5 grandkids now.
Yeah.
5. Because Sam just had had a baby.
Right, we saw that, which is wonderful. But will we see any of those salsa frescas closer by here?
I said to them that they're thinking about bringing a salsa fresca food truck up for the summer.
Oh, goody.
Oh, nice.
Yay. Goody.
So that's what they're thinking about.
We vote yes.
All right. Let's go to Compass.
Oh, yeah. This is exciting. We actually decided at the Lakeville Journal this week to dedicate our entire issue to Duncan Hanna, our editor.
Fan favorite.
Our editor decided we could only write about Duncan Hanna. But we have a wonderful review by Stephanie Coven, who is in her real life a very big deal book agent. And I'm thrilled to have her writing for us. And she did a really nice review of the book. And what I also love about Compass this week is that 2 pages of color, and in both cases, the picture of Duncan, which is the cover from his book, looks fantastic in color with all those Howard Johnson's orange and turquoise 1970s colors. And then we have a story on the next page about Andy Warhol, which also features a color reproduction of one of his silk screens of a transgender person, or maybe just a transvestite. I don't know if this person was transgender. But Leon Graham reviewed the Andy Warhol show at the Francis Lehman Loeb Gallery in Poughkeepsie, which is at Vassar. And like everybody, I think when we hear Andy Warhol's name, we think we know his work, and we all immediately just say, oh, yeah, been there, done that. Okay. But to rethink it and go back and look at these pictures, you realize sort of the breadth of his work. He was not only doing silk screens, he was photographing people, and he had a real gift for photographing rich older women who paid him a lot of money to do it. And Leon takes us through, and you'll have to read the story, but Leon describes exactly the process when he would get these really rich women of a certain age to come in, and he had a technique for making them all look ageless. He also, this week, Leon has reviewed, how much more time?
You have about another minute and a half, so you're...
Oh, wow,
forever.
That's too much time for me. So let's just talk about Pat Pagano for the next minute.
We could talk about Pat Pagano for an hour and a half.
I'm completely in love with Pat Pagano after this morning. When I woke up, I said, yes, Pat Pagano. Anyway.
He has that effect on people.
Apparently. I haven't met him, but
only in spring.
I'm now a fan. So Leon did a great review of this movie called A Fantastic Woman, which is a film about an actual transgender person. And the only thing I can say is that I don't want to give away the movie, but it's Leon loved the movie. And usually when Leon likes it, I like it. And I hope my readers also do. That's about all I have to say, so let's get back to Pat Pagano.
And don't forget the calendar. She's got an excellent calendar.
Yeah,
and calendar. Then if as long as we have a minute, if you turn to the back of the Lakeville Journal, we had we actually had to pop our sports into the back, but we have these incredible photos and coverage of the Northwest Regional High School basketball team, boys basketball team, who made it to the semifinals. But boy, we'll post some of the photos on Facebook. The Reverend Savage Freeze, had gone to the game, and boy, were those boys playing their hearts out. Just incredible photos and a really exciting game. And then, of course, we had a Pinewood Derby in Kent that the Cub Scouts held. And if you are having a Pinewood Derby, I want to know about it because I love Pinewood Derbies.
I love Pinewood Derbies.
Ann and I will come. We'll photo. You'll get an Ann Day photo out of it. Work of art.
Call me because I love Pinewood Derbies, although nobody in my family ever won.
Well, it's all entering is enough. And also, people, we haven't been hearing really about people's Easter egg hunts, so it remains a mystery to us. If you want us to come cover
Easter
egg hunt.
Yeah. In the snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Look outside.
I just remember several years ago, the Sharon Easter egg hunt, the Easter bunny got punched in the stomach.
I know. You are fixated on that.
I never forget that.
Yeah. Who punched him?
I'm not excited, child.
I'm not going to say.
My reporters actually don't love to go because it goes so fast. And Alexander Wilburn, who has covered many an Easter egg hunt for me, he said, you know what? You need to send a sports photographer with like a motor drive on their camera. He said, it just goes so fast.
Yep. All right. Well, that's This Week in Lakeville Journal. Those stories and much, much, much more. TriCornerNews.com, also on Facebook. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Marshall.
All right. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal here on Robinhood Radio. And, of course, we have put this up on our on-demand page as well at robinhoodradio.com. Click on on-demand. Click on This Week in the Lakeville Journal.